Part 3, Chapter 11, in which Alessandra climbs Harvey's tree. Quote, "Music is what awakes in you when you are reminded by the instruments." Walt Whitman. The next day was Saturday, and that night Harvey walked to the Capitol Theater for the performance of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore. He didn't know if Alessandra would come and risk not finding him there, but it was his only chance. As the hour drew near and the couples filed in, Harvey began to have his doubts. Why would this woman want to be with him, he thought, when all he could do was echo her own thoughts back to her? His anxiety grew, and he moved away from the large glass doors so as to pretend he wasn't alone. When the first call came for the audience to take their seats, his anxiety turned to excitement. He remembered all the times he had ever waited for anything. Waited for trains, people, events, his million-year wait with Sisyphus. And he felt he was on the sharpened edge of one of life's infinite moments. When the second call came to leave the lobby, he was sure he would expire. But before his heart could stop beating, a smiling Alessandra walked through the door, took him by the arm, and led him to their seats. Harvey had never been to the opera before, and was anxious to find a new part of himself. Unfortunately, when he and Alessandra took their seats, there was a jelly-faced woman next to them, and, overcome by the girth of her personality, the captain was condemned to share her experience. For the entire first part, he carped about the tightness of the seats. He railed about the obstruction of the view. He whined about the length of the acts, and he moaned about the pains in his back. To his great relief, the woman didn't return after the intermission, and Harvey was subsequently free to share the experience of Alessandra. Though Alessandra, because of her Italian heritage, could understand most of the lyrics, enabling Harvey to understand them as well, words were the least important of the communicative tools. It was the pitch and timbre of the voices and instruments that stirred the soul with their counterpoint of ecstasy and ennui, a double edge of pain and pleasure born of the twins morire and amare, dying and loving. The recitative laid the dull foundation, life's chores, duties, and routines, while the arias were life's peaks, the ecstasies of a finite heart that yearns. For Harvey, the entire performance filled him with a sweet building pain, a fervor that sought release in the single phrase, "Mamma, she loves me," and a fleeting tear. When the fat lady had sung, the audience filed out. Because Alessandra had arrived so quickly, Harvey had not had a chance to really look at his date. But now, under the lights, he was stunned by her beauty. Gliding along in her dark blue evening gown, her raven hair long on her shoulders and her hand soft on his arm, she seemed the combination of sensuality and innocence personified, a beauty made of Helen and Iphigenia with which no mortal could compare. Out on the street, they walked hand in hand, keeping time to the rhythm and flow of the night. And when they reached Alessandra's car, Harvey took the keys from her hand and kissed her. Then he drove her to his tree. The graveyard gate was locked when they arrived, so they parked the car and climbed the fence. On their way through the streets, they passed a stone wall that reminded Alessandra of the Riviera near Monte Carlo. "Have you been there?" asked Harvey. "My aunt lives in Italy," she said, "and I go to visit in the summers." The cool air made them playful as they walked, and soon they began to run. It was uncanny. It was as if they had run that road every day of their lives. They knew each curve and slope and sprinted around the blind corners. Kicking up their heels, the runners and road were one. The strides and runners were one. The runners and road and motion were one. The couple ran consistently on the tips of the toes of their shoes, balancing perfectly the momentum and weight of their strides against the pull of the turns. Though they longed to squeak, their shoes never spoke nor slipped, keeping constant contact with the road. Eventually, they slowed to a stroll. "What a lovely forest," said Alessandra, walking under the canopy of maples that led to Harvey's home. When they reached the base of his tree, the captain scurried up and threw down the ladder. "You live in a tree?" she said. The rope was rough on her hands, and it broke her skin as she struggled with its dryness. But as soon as she began to relax, Harvey pulled her all the way up. She was charmed by what she saw, and she was ashamed to think that until that time she had considered the penthouse suite at the Hotel Utah to be an acceptable apartment. "I've never ascended a tree," she said.
"Not even to chase a sparrow?" said Harvey.
"I wanted to, but couldn't do it alone." She gazed at the boards of the floor. When she raised her eyes, Harvey led her past the second floor to his bedroom on the third. Here the entire valley was visible through the branches. "It is thought," said Harvey, "that a person about to die sees into the future."
"Am I about to die?" said Alessandra.
"A small death," said Harvey. "Then I see us always together," said Alessandra, "and our life will be a dream." As they began to caress, she passed through his arms like an undulating fire, a rolling wave riding toward a secret cave. After his experience as a woman, Harvey was able to understand things he had never known before. He understood that one cannot have pleasure without giving it, that every gesture, every caress, every touch, every glance, and every part of the body holds a secret for the one who knows. He understood that lovers should not separate after loving without admiring each other first, without being conquered as well as conquering, so that no sense of desolation arises, nor the horrid feeling of misusing or having been misused. After she had admired him, Alessandra was inspired to speak.
"Will you come to see me perform?" she said.
"Perform?" echoed Harvey.
"At the university," she said. "I'm playing the lead in Iphigenia at Aulis."
"Iphigenia at Aulis?" echoed Harvey, trying to remember what the play was about.